The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Those of you who are our guests this morning, we appreciate you being here and visiting with us. Hopefully you'll fall in love with us and never miss another service. We're a warm and friendly bunch, so we probably hug more than we should and talk longer than we should, but that's who we are. Today I want to address a very serious subject for us as a church, and as I unfold this vision that the Lord has passed on to me, you will say, this is serious, okay? So hopefully it won't bring you to tears, but hopefully it will bring you to your feet and excited about what God could do in us and through us. So I have the sermon this morning that I've woven around the vision the Lord has given me, and it's, when must the church change direction? When must the church change direction? And we're going to use as a scripture one that's been one of my favorites for a very long time, but I've never preached in all the years that I've been ministering. I've never preached this before because I never felt the occasion for it. But the Lord gave this to me it's been about a month ago now. And so I want to share in the book of John, chapter 21, verse 3 through 6, New Living Translation. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Let's pray for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, we come to you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us so clearly that we will know it is your voice that we are hearing. Father, I am your servant, called to proclaim your word. As I speak the words today, give me clarity of thought and of speech to bring forth the message that you have for us here at New Beginnings Church. Father, we submit to you for your will to be done, and we pray together in the glorious name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I want to show you a short video that I believe will set the tempo for what we're about to do.
Okay, so the last thing we want to become is a church that pursues an exhaustive list of rules and regulations. But sometimes it's important to remind ourselves of a few things. Around here, we're more interested in giving a cold cup of water to a thirsty person than we are in drinking it ourselves. Around here, we're more interested in rubbing shoulders with people who have made plenty of mistakes than we are in standing next to people who pretend they haven't. In other words, the prostitute wins. The Pharisee does not. Around here, we're more interested in following an unpredictable Savior than we are in crawling after the expected and the routinely predictable. Around here, we're more interested in equipping you to live in the real world, a world that God created and loves, than we are in creating a Christian bubble. And, just to be clear, we'll gladly search for one lost, over 99 found, every time. Around here, we're more interested in growing big people than we are in growing a big church. Around here, we're more interested in helping you discover a life of worship than we are in furthering a musical genre. And finally, around here, we're more interested in walking through life together than we are in watching each other from a safe distance. And we're very interested in showing you how this works. Friends, we are a community that is guided by these biblical values. They will guide every decision we make, every relationship we nurture, and every plan we conceive. This is the road we're choosing to travel, and you are invited to take the journey with us, because we'd love it if you joined us.
Why? You might ask, what? When? Where? How? And probably most important of all, who? But before we get to that, I want to show you a few things in the scriptures that we just looked at. I want you to know that these disciples were laboring diligently for a harvest. They didn't go fishing to go fishing. You know, one of the things we say around here, because we don't know how to fish very well, you know, a bad day fishing's better than a good day at work. That's because we're not the best fishermen in the world. But these guys were professionals. They were experienced. They knew what they were doing. And they were empty-handed. Hadn't caught a thing. They had labored through the night and did not receive anything for their labor. Jesus asked a question that he knew the answer to. He said, boys, have you caught anything? And I could almost, being a fisherman, I know what it's like to say nothing. You know, it's not a lot of fun to say, what have you caught? And we say, oh, we had a great day. The water was cool, and, you know, was calm and it was cool. The sun didn't bake us. But people want to know, what did you catch? How productive were you on out of the water that day? Well, they weren't very productive.
We just celebrated our 10th anniversary as a church, and we have labored hard. I've labored as diligently in this church for 10 years as I did in all the years that I was president of companies and had my own business. And those of you who have owned your own business know how difficult that can be. Trust me, that's a piece of cake compared to building a church. This is a difficult work to do. We have labored hard, and we have very little to show in terms of physical harvest. We have 100 chairs in this building that I bought about 9 years ago, and I've always had a vision of seeing these chairs filled. Only one time I actually saw them full, and that was when Fran and Tommy O'Reilly had their wedding. We filled it up, and we may have filled it up on some rare occasions for maybe someone passed away and we had a funeral service here, but as far as on a Sunday morning, it has never been filled to capacity. So if you would ask me, have you caught any fish? I'd say a few, but I wanted to fill the nets. So I want you to think about that as we proceed this morning and the things that I tell you. And I know some of you are saying, and because y'all are very kind, oh, you say, well, Pastor, but we have other things. We're fruitful. We're feeding the poor. And I think that's awesome, and I'm in favor of doing that. And, you know, we've touched a lot of people's lives. You know, people are better. People have grown. George has said that he's grown. I've grown. Many of you have grown in the ministry of this church. And that's all good. That's great. But I'm a fisherman. I like to catch fish. That's what I want to do. When I started this church, it was on my heart. I had a vision then of building a church of 10,000. I had a small vision. And you'll find out why in just a little while. In order to do what God has called us to do, we're going to have to change. Remember when I've told you when John the Baptist was on the scene and when Jesus was on the scene and he said, both of them said, you need to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so often we've misunderstood that to believe we had to get sackcloth and ashes and wail and weep and lament, you know, for all of our sins. And there's an application in that. But it literally means to change the way that you think. You need to change the way that you think. And in order for us to build this new church, we're going to have to change the way that you think. Okay? It's going to take a different mindset in order to accomplish that, okay? So with that thought in mind, I want to address some of the reasons of when a church needs to change direction. Okay? The first thing is that God has a plan to do something great. When God has a plan to do something really great, to change direction. Let's look at John 21:6. They said, throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. The real miracle is that those fish were there all the time. They were there all the time. The disciples couldn't see it. The nets couldn't catch them. But they were there. And I believe that our harvest has been here all the time. We just haven't seen it. We just weren't looking in the right direction. So we're going to look at things a little bit differently. Sometimes, even when the harvest is there, it's not time to reap yet. The time wasn't right. Now, I've got to confess to you that I have done such a wonderful job of building this church that last year, last January, we were averaging about in the 60s or low 70s every Sunday morning. In a year, I managed to bring it down to now we're averaging about 30 or 35. That's amazing. How did I do that? I don't know what I did. But I did something. Or maybe God was doing something and I didn't realize what it was. Maybe my vision was too small. And like Gideon, God had to perish down some. So those of you who remain, that great remnant of New Beginnings Church, you're here for a very special reason. Others couldn't do what you're about to do. They didn't have what it takes to do what you're about to embark on. So, we have labored and our nets have been empty because God had a bigger plan than we ever dreamed. And when God and I'll tell you what, George, you know I'm getting emotional. When God began to reveal this to me, it just scares me half to death. And I'm not frightened very easily. It takes a lot to really scare me. I don't get scared very easily. But this frightened me. See, my goal was to fill 100 chairs. I gave up on the 10,000. Finally figured that wasn't going to happen. I said, Lord, if we could just fill 100 chairs, that I would be a happy boy. God wants us to reach the world. Now, I'm dead serious. That's not rhetoric from a pastor. I am as serious as I've been about anything in my life that God wants us to reach the world. Now, if you had any sense at all, you pick up your purse, your wallet, your chairs, and get out of here. If you had a lick of sense. But being the remnant that you are, you're going to see something phenomenal. I want you to see a video, and I want you to listen with your spirit when you see this video.
I am Generation Next.
I think faster than any generation before me.
I email. Instant message.
Web design.
Video games are my life.
I don't know how to surf the internet since I was 6.
I've never known life without a computer.
I did not play Pac-Man.
I am Generation Next.
I watch over 1,500 hours of television a year.
By the time I graduate, I will have seen over 1,200 movies.
I visit an average of 20 websites a day.
I am Generation Next.
Sure, I go to church.
But if I read my Bible once in the next 3 weeks,
I will be above average.
Why?
Because my generation
is different.
We learn visually, audibly, interactively.
I don't know what I believe.
What is truth anyway?
Why can't Allah be God?
I have no convictions.
But every day, I'm told to be tolerant of the convictions of others.
For me, there are no absolutes.
I am Generation Next. I need a challenge.
I am Generation Next.
My attention span is 13 minutes.
It's your turn.
Impress me.
Generation Next. Generation in crisis. We'll witness 8,000 murders on TV by age 17. We'll spend 7 to 10 years of their life watching TV. Percent are biblically illiterate.
This Generation Next. A generation in crisis.
There rose up a new king, which they knew not, Joseph.
That is sobering to me. Sobering to me. I want to show you some things that we know. These statistics are from a book I'm in the process of reading called The Bridger Generation. And the first thing that we know is that the building generation, those that are called the greatest generation between the age of 65 and up, 65% of that group are Christians. 65%. Say they're Christian. At least they, in some way, shape, or form, they know something about the scriptures, they know something about church. They are many of us in this room, all right? The next group are called boomers. And why they chose to call them boomers is beyond me. And where are they? There they are.
I don't know what's going on,
all right? You may not be able to see it on the screen, but hit the enter key, Jim. Enter the game. Okay, you're just going to have to listen to me. It won't show up on the screen for whatever reason. Nope, it's not going to work. The boomer generation, age 45 to 64, 45 to 64, 35% of them know Christ, or by that definition that I gave you earlier. A group that's called the buster generation, which is age 26 to 44, 16% profess to know God. You notice we went from 65% to 35% to 16%. The Bridger generation, which is age 5 to 25, 4% have any inkling about Christianity, church, God, anything to do with that. That is an astounding bit of information. What's even more interesting, that we know that statistically, that for someone to come to Christ, once they get past about 25, that the probability of them coming to Christ is 5%. But if they're 16 and under, the probability of them coming to Christ is like 95%. And where do we spend all of our time and money and energy? On people that have a 5% chance of coming to Christ. Instead of spending time and energy in the most productive field that we could. One third of the world's population is 19 years of age and under. That's 2 billion people. I had no idea that was true. So we're living in a world where approximately one third or 19 and under who do not know God. You want to know why our world is such a wreck and so many kids are doing so many horrific things? The other startling thing, and you saw it in this video, is that people who are 25 years of age and under are, and by and large, proficient on the internet. Some of you are not proficient on the internet. Some of you can't even spell internet. Some of you are not going to be on the internet. Some of you do not have an email address, nor do you want an email address. Some of you are living in the Stone Age compared to the new generation. I noticed that you look a little cold. Are you cold? Would someone go back there and turn that air conditioner down or up or whatever direction it needs to go? Somebody's going. Thank you. You can edit that out the video, Jim. Give you something to do. God wants us to reach around the world to fill our net. I am, of all the things that I believe, and I believe a lot of things, one thing I won't change my mind about is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I got that figured out. But I've also figured out that we've got to find a way to reach this generation. I'm not the only one who has this vision, by the way. I'm amazed that once it started coming to me, how many other pastors and other churches I saw began to be talking about the exact same subject. The internet is going to be our net. That's the net that we're going to cast out to reach this generation around the world. If I were you, I'd leave. You need to repent. You need to change the way you think in order to see this, okay? You need to think differently, all right? I want to tell you something. So one of the little pieces of information that kind of led me to the conclusion that I have right now. We take our sermons, which we record, and we put them on the internet. We have our website, which, by the way, if you looked at our website, if you don't know anything about the internet, you look at our website, you say, oh, that's cool. If you knew anything about the webnet, internet, it's archaic. It's rocks. Everybody else is going to war with howitzers and planes and bombs, and we're throwing rocks if you look at our internet page. It's archaic. I did it 10 years ago. And I've tried to keep it up, but I don't have time to keep it up. I mean, it is really, really bad. But we're out there. And our sermons get put on it. We are a church of 35 people, so to speak. You want to guess how many people in the last 24 months since we've been putting our sermons on the internet, how many people? You're not going to guess this. I'm going to tell you. In the last 24 months, with no advertisement, no push, no nothing, just putting it out there, some kind of way, we've had in excess of 5,000 people come to our website and either listen to, download, or email the sermons we've done in this church on the internet. That's incredible. We are growing, Jim just got this for me this morning. Over the last year, we've averaged 102 new people a month going through our internet site. January through March, the average was 141. And then for some reason, April through September, it was an average of 97. Now, these are just round numbers just to give you some idea of what can happen when you don't do anything. I mean, we really have not been really doing much with it other than just putting it out there. Jack, how many of you know what Facebook is? Raise your hands. Wow. How many of you have a Facebook account? That's better than I thought. All the young people raise their hand right away. Did Dakota raise his hand? I'm sure he's probably got one. Facebook, for those of you who don't know, it's a social gathering of people who have little else to do at their time other than go on a computer. And you can have your own place out there, and you can have friends, and you make an association of friends. You invite people who have Facebook accounts to be your friends. And people do things like wake up in the morning, go to their computer, and say, "Good morning, I'm going outside to watch my flowers. Hi, I'm going to have a ham and cheese sandwich for lunch." Or other minuscule pieces of information you have no desire to know. I actually have an internet account. It's got my picture on it. I even got my wife's picture on it so people would think that she knows what the internet is. Well, in the process of beginning to put this vision together, Jack, who is responsible for this area, put a Facebook page up for the church, New Beginnings Church. In less than 2 weeks, we have about 40 friends on the internet. And we have people sending in prayer requests, putting stuff on there, comments from, you said, California and some other places around the country. People are doing this. We haven't done a thing except try to put it out there, just kind of playing with a little bit. But if you go to it, Jack's done a good job. You can listen to music. You can get you can put in a prayer request. You can ask for information. It's a marvelous little device. In just less than 2 weeks, we've got that far. And we really haven't pushed it very much. We also are in the process of having a Twitter account. How many people know what a Twitter is? How many of you have a Twitter account? One Twitter in a bunch. We are about to Twitter. I have no idea what a Twitter is. I think it's something like this, that if you have your friends, which they call followers on Twitter, you can put a text message and it'll Twitter your friends' phone, your followers' phones, and they will see your little message. That's one way to do it. You do it with your phone. I probably said more than I know, but we're going to be Twittering. We're going to be Facebooking, and we're going to be Twittering, and we're going to be doing whatever else we need to do. I promise you, if this group was younger, everybody would know exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to know ourselves. When I heard about Twitter, I said, the last thing in the world I need to know about is Twittering. I got enough to do. But if that's where they are, that's where we're going. Amen. Resurrection Life Ministries, who is our founding church, if you will, up in Picayune, Mississippi, which is a very large church. They run around 3,000 people on Sunday morning in their church, Sunday morning. In September, they have a website, which they have not promoted a whole lot, but it's a very, very nice, contemporary-looking website. In September, they had 71,000 people went to their website. So, want to get the picture here?
We also have Yahoo.
We also have Yahoo. The only Yahoo I know is the Yahoo we do in church. It said amen, right? So, we're a Yahoo person. Here's the big picture. You ready for this? We are going to build a church on the internet that will be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where people can go to it, get information. I'll explain that a little bit more in just a few minutes. They can chat with people on the internet with us and find Jesus Christ. That's the goal.
Amen.
Jim asked me, he said, "Morris, what's the message?" I said, "It's the oldest message that I know of. Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's the only thing that'll change a life, is that message. This is not about making people feel good. It's not about giving them dancing lessons or singing lessons or computer lessons. It is about bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that does not know Him. And if the young people are on the internet, we're going to be on the internet and we're going to do it. And we will reach them via this amazing technology. we will accomplish this task, for I believe that God is in it. The scripture that we will use will be our theme scripture. It will be out of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We're going after them. See, they're not coming to church. We can build the most magnificent building in the world. They're not coming to church. So we need to go where they are. And when some person, whether they're 5 or 55 or 95, needs help, and they sit down at their keyboard and they type in, and we're gonna put together the a method for them. When they put in the certain keywords, they will find us. And when they sit down because they're hurting, or if they have problems or whatever kind of problems they are, they're going to find us. And we're going to give them the answer, who is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. That's what we're going to do. That's our goal. That's our motivation. All right. Will you allow me to go over just a little bit this morning? I'm not going to finish this sermon, but I never intended to finish it, but I need to go a little bit further, okay? Are you comfortable? All right. The temperature's all right? You all right? Amen. I got a few amens. All right. All right. The second reason why church changes direction is when God wants people to risk everything for Him. When God wants people to risk everything for Him. Let's look at John chapter 21, verse 7, and see this scripture. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. As soon as Peter realized it was the Lord, he left everything behind again. Risked his life. I know a little about swimming. It's hard to swim with clothes on. I don't know what a tunic is, but it sounds like something I'm not going to swim in. Jumped in the water. Maybe he thought he was going to walk on it because he had done that once before. I don't know. But he certainly went to the shore. You see, the message that over and over is repeated in the New Testament is God goes to people and invites them to follow Him. He went to fishermen. He said, "Come, follow me." What did they do? They dropped their nets and they followed Him, didn't they? They left everything behind. He went to a tax collector. He left everything behind and followed Christ. Jesus was talking about following Him one day, and someone said, "Well, someone died. I need to go bury him." He said, "Let the dead bury the dead. You follow me." One said, "I have to go say goodbye to my family." He said, "Anybody puts his hand to the plow and looks back, it's not worthy of following me. You come follow me." Probably one of the most amazing stories is the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the law." He said, "I've done it." He was lying, but he said he did it. And Jesus said, "All right, if you want to be my disciple, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, come follow me." And he didn't do it. And Jesus let him walk away. One of the most amazing stories to me in Scripture, that Jesus let him walk away. See what we've done, friends, and the reason I believe that there are so few of us in churches, not just ours, but in so many other churches, if we've made Christianity so easy that you can just come and enjoy it whenever you want, with no commitment whatsoever. And I've made it, I'm even guilty of making it worse than it ought to be. I don't even let you have a membership here because I didn't want to be hard on you. So I said, "No, you don't have to be a member here." I don't pass the basket around here because I don't want to be hard on you. Back there on the back wall. I don't make any commitments. I don't ask you for many commitments at all. But I might say, the few times I've asked you, you've already responded. Last year, I asked you to fast for 21 days in January. And I was amazed at the amount of people who responded to that. By the way, we're going to do it again. It's January, so be prepared. But we've made it so easy that no one's had to do anything to follow God. Just do whatever you want to do. make the gospel as sweet as you want it to be. I heard a guy on the TV this morning said we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, not the sugar of the earth. That makes a lot of sense to me. We just made it so sweet and palatable. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to put any heat on anybody. Heaven forbids that you'd have to sacrifice to do something. This vision has an enormous price tag associated with it. An enormous price tag associated with it. And it's doomed to fail if God doesn't show up. I'm not only going to have egg on my face, I'm going to have chickens on my face. And so are you, if you so choose to follow the Lord and to follow this vision and to follow me. You will, if it doesn't work, we're going to stand up and say, God didn't show up. However, if God does show up, you're going to be a part of one of the most amazing things anybody's ever seen. Reaching the world for Christ. You see, the reason it's doomed to fail because we only have 30, 35 people. Last week, every Tuesday we get together in the office, we go through the finances, and we go through who was here, wasn't here, so we can send little, we missed your notes, and, new guests, we send you a little letter from me. And so we had to struggle to find 30 people last week. We had 26. Actually, we had 30, but one of them was our guest speaker, his wife, his daughter-in-law, and his grandson. I walked out of the office Tuesday and I said, I'm not doing this, Lord. I'd already talked to a bunch of folks and had a committee together and we're working to put things together. I said, this is crazy. This is the craziest thing I've ever come up with. This has got no legs at all. That's going to die on the vine. And I don't have time for this, Lord. I want to go visit Izzy. I'm getting old. Did you realize I had a birthday this year? I'm getting older, Lord. Do you realize that? You know? Realize I don't have the energy of a 25-year-old anymore? And Lord, have you looked at the army you gave me? Are you sure this is you, Lord?
And I
called Jim and Mike and I told Jim, I got to see you, man. I got with him Wednesday. I told him, I said, man, this is crazy. This is not going to fly. I need something from God. I need a message from God that this is the right thing to do. And I don't want one of these little easy prophecies where somebody lays their hands on you and says, oh, the Lord said, brother, that thou shalt expand thy tent and thy field. No, I want something big. I want something so big, like one time when many years ago, when I was ready to shut this place down for various reasons, and I said, Lord, if you don't tell me some reason to keep it going, I quit. The next day, a guy came up to me, and I was having breakfast with him, and we were leaving, and he put something in my pocket. He said, here, this is for you. And it's not unusual for this guy to put something in my pocket. And so I went to pay my bill, and I said, what did he put in my pocket? I reached in, it was a check, I opened it up, and I was almost fell out. It was a check for $5,000 to this church. Well, I guess I can say, you know who gave it to us? The guy we rent the building from, a landlord. Go see if you can get that one to work someplace. I said, okay, God, I guess we're supposed to go on. Well, I'm ready for it, but $5,000 won't do it this time. I need something bigger than that. Our finances are limited. I am amazed at how good our finances are. We're in the black, and we got money in the bank. So I'm not crying for money. And those of you who are guests, you'll excuse me. If you were around here a little while, you'd know. I never ask for money around here for myself. You know, every once in a while, we take up an offering. By the way, while I'm on that subject, there are two baskets in the back. There's actually three. There's a box and two baskets. The box is for tithes and offering. One of the baskets is for Glow Ministry, which we receive funds for each month for the Glow Ministry that feeds the people, the poor. And the other basket is a love offering we're going to take for George to help him with his expenses on his trip. Okay. So, but we don't take money around here very often. So, but our finances are good. So this is not about us needing money. I already mentioned we're a little older around here. Most of us ought to be hanging up our spurs. You know, leave it to the next generation to do all this. I keep telling this to God, but he won't listen to me. In fact, when it comes to children, we only have two children. One of them, and I was amazed that little Sierra came all the way down here during the worship, and I looked at her, and she just kind of raised her little hands. She just kind of danced around a little bit and walked back, and I said, Lord, what was that all about? And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Little Sierra didn't know she was speaking to the pastor, but she did. She preached a sermon to me this morning when she came down here. And we're in a rented building. We ought to have our own place by now. You know why we don't have our own building? Because I won't go into debt to do it. Amen. I'm just not going to put us in debt. I just won't do it. I don't care. We'll just keep renting. I'm just not going to do it. I don't believe in going into debt as an individual, and I certainly wouldn't put a church into debt. The vision is this. We're going to transform this storefront church into one of the most magnificent first-class video studios you have ever seen. It will be the envy of others. I don't believe in doing things halfway. It's going to be great. What you see right now won't be what you see in the near future. This is going to be transformed back here into, we're going to have backdrops and stuff. And so that, what you don't realize that when, even though we're videoing this right now, you're seeing a bunch of junk that shouldn't be here. Matter of fact, Don and I were so diligent this morning because Jim normally sets the camera up over there, so we took all the junk from over there and moved it over here, and Jim put the camera over here so you could see all the junk we got around here.
Equipment,
thank you. We're going to have video cameras hanging all over this place. They'll be on the wall, they'll be on the floor. Don't come in here in, you know, not be shaved and looking good, because you're going to be on video. You're going to be on the world. People are going to be seeing you. Some of you may want to start going to the gym. Tanning booths. Start putting some makeup on. George, you might have to do something with the top up there so we don't get a lot of reflection off the top. We're going to hang bright lights in here. We're going to have studio lights. They're going to be all across here. We're going to have video mixers. We're going to have sound equipment. We're going to have computer equipment. This place is going to be transformed, where the nursery is being moved back. Glow is taking over the what used to be the sound booth room back there where we keep the audio stuff. Media room, thank you. And what is the nursery? That wall is going to be transformed, because back there we're going to have cameras and video equipment and people working to get all this done. So it's going to be transformed. This is bizarre, isn't it? This is bizarre. Okay, now listen, this is, you want to hear this. The estimated startup cost, just to get us going, is about $30,000. Anybody want to leave? We need cameramen, we need directors, we need painters, we need musicians, we need carpenters, we need computer personnel. We need a flock of people that we don't have right now, other than you. Liz, we're going to teach you how to use the internet.
You got to go into all the world.
This is a goal. This is a goal. Someone around the world is hurting. And we're going to find a way for them to find us, because we're going to have the answers. What they will find when they go to our website, they will find a little short video. It'll be about maybe a minute long. It'll just be kind of a little it'll just be a little teaser. You know, we can help you. We're going to point them to Christ. We're going to, you know, it'll be done in a very first class way. If you're interested, click here. When they click, it'll bring them to another video. It'll be about 5 minutes long. It'll be kind of like the trailer on a movie. You know, when you go see a movie, you see the trailer, shows you it's going to be, you know, presenting more of the solution. If they're interested beyond that, they'll click, and we'll take them to a teaching. It'll be anywhere from 20 minutes to 6 minutes long, depending on how long what the subject matter will be. And we will cover every subject matter that we can think of under the sun. So whatever that the needs are, they will find the answer at our website. We will have the ability to chat with people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You've heard of prayer lines? This is chat lines. They will type in, and you will be there responding to them live, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We will have live broadcast. Our services will be live, broadcast over the internet, what's called streaming. We'll be streaming out of here. Whatever we do, we'll go out of here live. So people around the world will be watching what we're doing on the spot. This is the most ambitious thing you have ever heard. It's ambitious for a major church. It is impossible for us to do it. I believe you're crazy enough to follow me to do this. I really believe it. Because if you're not, it is. The internet is such a magnificent tool in the hands of the church that we're starting to get it. There's some people who are getting it, and it's happening. We're not the only ones. But our major focus will be the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's going to be our major focus. That's what we want to do, is bring people to Christ. Because I'll tell you what, I've lived long enough, I've ministered long enough, the only thing that really helps people is Jesus. That's the only thing. Amen. The rest of this stuff is just window dressing. Amen. But Jesus will make a difference. I want to show you a slide that is absolutely startling. This is a live internet website that I took a snapshot of. And I'm going to get up here a little closer to it and try to... Jimmy, you might want to move the camera over around. I did this Thursday about 11 o'clock our time, which this is based on Greenwich Mean Time, Paris. So it's probably about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. This website is designed to do one thing, to bring people to Jesus Christ. That's what it does. You see right here it says visitors and here it says decisions. Thursday they had 13,996 people went to their website. 1,300 people received Christ into their life. And the way you do this, this isn't just, yes, I want to be Jesus. There's a process you go through that they have to go through in order to make a decision for Christ, so they really understand what Christianity is all about. Yesterday, so Wednesday, they had 20,799 people went to the website. 1,993 people received Christ. Since they've been doing this, and I don't know how long they've been doing it, they've had 15,695,388 people visited the website. 1,547,888 people received Christ.
Only got 2 million more kids to go.
Yeah. You can see here is a map of the... It changes. You can look at any place in the world. But right here, the last decision was in Italy. I can't even... Gloria del Colli, I guess that is. And it shows a little map, the little pins. It's like you put pins into a map. That's where that person was in Italy who received Christ. That's the last person who received Christ when I was looking at it. You can actually flip this, look at this map a little different way, and you see little pin places all over the world where people are receiving Christ. Right here, 5 seconds ago, someone in Spain. 1 minute ago, someone in Norway. 3 minutes ago, someone in Italy. 3 minutes ago, someone in Australia. 4 minutes ago, someone in a place I've never heard of. Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Who said that? Yeah, you give that girl a star. All right, I didn't know where it was. Okay, Canada, Ecuador, Turkey, Colombia, France, Syrian, Arabian, Arab Republic, Poland, Chile, France, Venezuela. That is where we're going. Is that amazing to you, or am I the only one? That is absolutely incredible that that is taking place right now.
What's the name of that website?
It's called, I knew someone, here, it's Real Time Decisions for Christ. Real Time Decisions for Christ. Just Google it and you'll find it. Liz doesn't know what Google is, but you do, evidently. You can sit there and watch it. Your granddaughter will show you. Jenny will show you how to do it. Now, I'm going to draw a period here. I have much more to say, I'm really planning on doing the rest of this next week. But I want to stop with this thing. What do I need you to do right now? All right. I want you to pray. Now, that sounds like, man, they always say that in church, pray. No, and I don't mean these little God bless mom and daddy prayers. I want you to intercede about this whole thing that if God is in it, and I believe that He is, that we will see the fruit of it and we'll be able to do it. Or, if He's not, that I will come back to my senses and I'll repent of this crazy idea and we'll forget about it, okay? But it's got to happen soon because we're starting to spend money, all right? So, I want you to pray. Second thing is, I want you to participate. I want you to participate. When we get done, everybody will be working and we won't have anybody in the congregation. Unless we recruit some people. Now, here's who I want you to recruit. I want you, the experts who have done this know more than I do. They have said the best people to recruit are teenagers. Give teenagers all this wonderful equipment. So we're going to turn over all of this wonderful money we're spending on electronic gear. We're turning it over to the kids. They're going to run the cameras. They're going to run the computers. They're going to be the directors.
Amen.
We're going to let the children run the show.
Amen.
That's really crazy. But they know. I tried to dress this morning, by the way, in a contempt, because we're videotaping this and we're going to use some snippets and put it on the internet and some other places. I wanted to look contemporary. So I decided to wear a contemporary shirt to be here instead of my stuffy old suit that I wear. The kids know how to do this. You saw in that video we showed earlier that that little boy, six years old, already knows how to use the internet. You know, your grandkids know more than you do. I want you to talk to your grandkids and to your kids in your neighborhood, and invite them to come here for an interview with me. If they got any aptitude at all, they will be running this stuff, okay? You say, you've been trying to get your kids and your grandkids saved?
Amen.
Bring them here.
Amen.
I don't care if they're saved or not. Bring them here. We'll teach them and they'll get saved. They'll hear enough of the gospel to get saved, all right? So, I want you to pray. I want you to participate. Now, pay attention, all right? I want you to pay. We need $30,000 by December. This December. In January, we're starting to spend money. Now look, now listen to me. Listen to me. I'm dead serious about this. I want your money. I want your money out of your 401ks. I want it out your IRAs. Hot grandma's ring. It's not doing you a bit of good sitting in the closet. It doesn't mean a thing. With 30 people, it's $1,000 a head. It's easy. You got a husband and wife, it's $2,000. Don't tell me you don't have the money. I know you got the money. You just got to be willing to give it up. And this is big enough to give it up for. Now, some of you might have good memories. You say, well, Pastor, you told me that you had a bank account with $50,000 in it. I do. It's our money, but we're not using that money. This is my fleece. $30,000 cash in December. Now, some of you are going to have to come up more than $1,000 ahead, because not everybody here has got it. I didn't plan on saying what I just said, all right? How you get it, other as long as it's legal, I don't care. You know, I really thought about that before I brought it up, because I know that that's a lot of money. You know, there's not a lot of rich folks in this church, not that I know of. So it's gonna cost you something to do it. There are about four other churches on this street that you can go to tomorrow where you'll be nice and comfortable. They won't put much pressure on you. Might ask you to be a member if you go there a while. You know, might ask you to sign a card, but they're not going to ask you for this kind of stuff. You know, if we were building a building with sticks and bricks and mortar, and we started a fundraiser, you know, everybody be all excited about it. This is a different kind of church. This is a church for today. I'm not wasting money on a building that's going to sit around and be empty most of the time. We're going to spend money where it's active all the time. Now, I've got to tell you that this is all going to happen in phases. And next week, I'll explain a little bit more to you about that. Anybody who wants to come back? We may be down to 10. They may be down to me. I want your Christmas presents. Just give a note to your kids and say, you gave at the church. I know this is big, but I really believe with all my heart at this stage in the game that this is what God would call us to do right now. We can, when we're sitting here a year from now, 2 years from now, and we're seeing the fruit of what we're doing, you'll say the investment was awful small. But it's not just your money. You need to be praying. You need to be getting involved. You need to start learning. Things that you need to know, we'll teach you. I might even teach my wife how to do email. I might get Jim to teach her. I don't know if I can teach my wife. I'll teach Priscilla, you teach Pat. How's that? maybe that's a better way to do it. Yeah. Yeah, poor Priscilla. So what do you think? Think this is crazy or doable? What do you think?
Go for it.
What's that? I got 5 minutes and I'm out of tape. All right. This is the longest I've ever kept anybody. I hope you'll forgive me. Those of you are a guest. I don't normally talk this long, but I really, God just messed me up with all the other stuff we were doing earlier, okay? So I'll continue this next week, and the subject will be assembling a team, okay? And how we'll assemble this team together. I am excited about it and scared to death all at the same time. That I'm hot on top and my feet are cold. All right? But I really sense, and I've not been doing this in a vacuum. Some of you already know, and some of you have been involved with it. I'm putting some things together. So, with that said and done, let's all stand.